This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to a reading of the Braille Monitor, a monthly magazine published by the National Federation of the Blind. Material is selected with the interests of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. This is Ray, and our program today will bring you articles from Braille Monitor Volume 68, Number 8, August/September 2025. Today's readings are the second episode of the National Federation of the Blind. Let's get started. Jacobus Tenbrook Award Presentation, presented by Pam Allen. Each year, the National Federation of the Blind honors an individual whose leadership, service, and spirit embody the legacy of our founder, Dr. Jacobus Tenbrook. This award is not given lightly. It is reserved for those whose work reshapes the landscape for blind people and whose life stands as both a challenge and invitation to the rest of us to do more. To expect more, to give more. The person we recognize this evening has spent decades building not just programs or partners, but people. They understand that confidence grows through opportunity, that independence thrives in high expectations, and that belief, true belief, in the capacity of blind people is the most powerful force in our movement. This leader has mentored countless individuals in large and small ways, always going above and beyond, often sacrificing personal time, whether through an encouraging word or providing a chance to conquer a fear. Their fingerprints are on dreams realized and the barriers broken. Their approach is both imaginative and deeply personal, believing in people before they believe in themselves, holding fast to the idea that blindness is not the characteristic that defines a person or their future. To this individual, that is not just a tagline. It is a way of life. Many in this room recognize immediately this individual's voice, warm laughter, compassionate heart, and insistence on excellence. Many more know the ripple effect of this person's work, even if they don't realize it came from this person. Tonight we honor a woman whose career and character exemplify the values of Dr. Jacobus Tenbrook. She has served with humility and kindness, led with wisdom and integrity, and lifted others with a fierce and loving determination. I first had the true honor to work with her during an incredible opportunity. The NFB had to provide training to blind people in Poland, and I knew, like so many here tonight, that my life would be forever changed because of her. It is my distinct privilege to present the 2025 Jacobus Tenbrook Award to Julie Dedden. As Julie is making her way up here, I want to thank Norma Crosby and Barbara Manuel, who are on our committee. Julie has spent over 25 years as the executive director of the Colorado Center for the Blind. Under her leadership, the center has grown and expanded its reach. Lives are transformed every day. Students walk in and see what is possible and walk out knowing they can change the world. They have the skills and, most importantly, grounding in the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind, Julie lives that philosophy every day through her words and her actions. Julie's impact goes far beyond the center. She's been a key leader in the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado, holding various leadership positions at both the chapter and affiliate level, helping shape the direction of the affiliate through her advocacy, mentorship, and engagement. She is also an officer in the National Association of Blind Rehabilitation Professionals. Julie's articles and presentations continue to make a positive and long-lasting difference in the field of blindness. She has a powerful voice in state and national conversations about what blind people can do and should expect from rehabilitation, education, and society. But what truly distinguishes Julie is her heart. She believes in people. She helps students transform fears to hope, encourages staff through her patient example, and motivates everyone she meets to find the best in themselves. Through trial and triumph, Julie perseveres. Her leadership is not about the spotlight, it is about the people. All who know Julie recognize how important her family is in her life, both her human family and her four-legged family members. Her husband, Dan, is a constant source of love and support. Julie is a loving mother to her son, Robert, and a cherished sister and daughter. Her family is her foundation and a testament to the values that guide her every step. Julie is also a loving and loyal friend, of that I can attest. We've probably spent thousands of hours on the phone together and shared so many experiences through laughters and tears, so many memories. I am so grateful. Julie, you have shown us what leadership looks like when it's rooted in love and faith, an unshakable belief in the human potential. Your work has changed lives. Your leadership has changed this movement. We thank you, we celebrate you, we love you. And tonight we honor you with the highest recognition the Federation can bestow. I will present Julie with a beautiful Braille plaque that I'm going to hold up. It's absolutely. This is produced by 64 Ounce Games and it is imprinted in Braille. It is absolutely gorgeous. I'm going to hand this to you. Julie Dedden. Okay, thank you. Pam Allen. It's heavy, and I will read it. I will read the plaque to everybody, so you know what it says. It has our logo on it, a tactile logo. Jacobus Tenbrook Award presented to Julie Dedden for your dedication, sacrifice, and commitment on behalf of the blind of this nation. Your contribution is measured not in steps, but in miles. Not by individual experiences, but by your impact on the lives of the blind of the nation. Whenever we have asked, you have answered. We called you our colleague with respect. We call you our friend with love. July 13th, 2025. Congratulations. Julie Dedden. It is with, I'm so honored to be standing up here in front of all of you, my NFB family. And I walked into my first convention in 1978 in Baltimore, Maryland. I walked into the hotel and there were two amazing, wonderful people from Texas there to greet me. And I felt immediately at home with the National Federation of the Blind. I wouldn't be here though, if it weren't for so many of you. And I'll just thank a couple because we have to finish the banquet up. But first of all, I would really love to thank my mentor and the woman that I love and my role model, Diane McGeorge. Diane taught me from the very beginning about the wonder of the National Federation of the Blind. From the very beginning, when I started my journey here, I had an opportunity to go to Idaho to demonstrate so we could have a BEP program at the courthouse. I got to picket many a time against the National Accreditation Council of Agencies Serving the Blind, and I got to attend so many Washington seminars and everything else. And that's how I grew up in the National Federation of the Blind. I also wouldn't be standing here if it weren't for my husband that I just love so much, Dan Burke. Dan has been with me and has really propelled me to continue on being the director at the Colorado Center for the Blind, and I cannot tell you how much I've gained from my work in the National Federation of the Blind. I've gained so much from all of you. I can never, ever give back what you have all given to me in the National Federation of the Blind. I love you all so much, and I'm shaking up here, and I'm so surprised. I just want to tell all of you how much I love you, and thank you to my NFB family. Thank you. Kenneth Jernigan Award Presentation, presented by Curtis Chong. Curtis Chong. Good evening, my federationists. I'm trying not to pop my piece here. Tonight, I am both honored and humbled to be able to present the Kenneth Jernigan Award. When in the late 80s and early 90s, blind people were able to use a text-based, keyboard-driven, disk operating system, DOS, to work successfully. A lot of us thought that our lives with respect to computers couldn't get any better. When in the early 90s, we heard about Microsoft taking the world by storm with Windows and its graphical icons instead of text and the mouse in place of a keyboard command. Those of who used the keyboard and text-based interfaces, had no idea how we would make it in this new graphical world. Fortunately for us, several companies decided to build and sell screen readers for Windows. One such company, Henter Joyce, already had a screen reader for DOS called JAWS for DOS. Recognizing the need to move to the Windows world, they hired a blind graduate from UCLA with a master's in business administration. A blind person with the lived experience of a blind person needing to make productive use of a computer. For the last 3 decades, our award recipient has been the primary architect behind the innovation JAWS for Windows that has kept many of us employed and ensured that hundreds of thousands of blind people around the world could gain efficient access to email, word processing, may I say it, the World Wide Web, and other applications used in employment and daily life. He is also unparalleled in his ability to understand the technical intricacies that enable screen readers to obtain information from the systems and applications that we, the blind, must be able to use to compete with our sighted peers on a true basis of equality. Anyone who has ever worked on non-visual access for Windows and Windows programs is well aware that our ability to use systems and programs that are originally designed for people who can see the screen rests on a delicate and cooperative exchange of information between screen reading software, the operating system, and the programs that actually accomplish the work we need to have done. Our award recipient understands this delicate exchange of information better than most people I know. It is my privilege, therefore, to introduce Glenn Gordon. Glenn, can you make your way up here? I first became aware of Glenn Gordon when he spoke at a Microsoft Accessibility Summit held way back in 1995. What impressed me then was his deep understanding of the cooperative connections that must exist between applications and systems designed for the sighted and screen readers used by the blind. I was also impressed by Glenn's ability to speak the language that the nerds at Microsoft used and understand. As evidenced by Freedom Scientific FS Cast podcast, which Glenn hosted for a few years, Glenn is exceptionally articulate and easy for us mortal human beings to understand. Glenn has spent 3 decades, you heard him talk today, ensuring that blind people can live and work using computers and systems designed primarily for people who can see. We celebrate not just one man's work, but the ripple effect of his accomplishment in changed lives and expanded opportunities. Yes, indeed. I'm not using a refreshable braille display. I'm using a real paper. Glenn, it is both an honor to you and to convey our heartfelt appreciation for who you are and what you have done that we present you with the Kenneth Jernigan Award, give you this plaque, and invite you to the microphone. It's in print and in braille. And I'm going to read it first before you get your shot at this, okay? So it has the NFB logo and says, Kenneth Jernigan Award. For your dedication to the highest ideals, for your commitment to blind-centered innovation, for your leadership in expanding access to information, we, the Organized Blind Movement, confer upon Glenn Gordon the Kenneth Jernigan Award. You are ready for every challenge. Your commitment to accessibility excellence is unmatched. You are a friend to the blind, the world over. National Federation of the Blind, July 13th, 2025. Glenn Gordon. Thank you, Curtis. I think this was bait and switch. I was just told I was coming to do a presentation, and in fact, I'm not ready for a challenge. The challenge of actually feeling like I'm worth accepting this award. It seems like only yesterday that I was attending a meeting where Jim Thatcher and Rich and some of the early screen reading pioneers were speaking, and I was this young kid, you know, trying to ask intelligent questions. And now it's 30 years later. Where has the time gone? And I just, you know, sort of fixed bug after bug and helped move things forward. but this came as a complete surprise. Ryan and others managed to hide it well. I should have suspected when my colleague Carl Wise, who I've worked with for 30 years, suddenly appeared this afternoon. But I thought Ryan was just bringing him to have a reunion with me, so this comes a complete surprise and a tremendous honor. Thank you very much. Remarks of the 2025 National Federation of the Blind Scholarship Class. From the editor. One of the highlights of the board of directors meeting, and indeed of the entire convention, is hearing the members of each year's scholarship class introduce themselves and share their stories, achievements, and goals. Kate Mendez of New York chairs the scholarship committee. Here's how she introduced the 2025 scholarship class as the final agenda item of the board meeting on July 10th. Kate Mendez. Good morning, Mr. President, and members of the board of directors. Good morning to everybody in the room and everybody out there on Zoom. All throughout the morning, members of the scholarship class have been sending me text messages, letting me know they're nervous, and I've been all, oh, it's okay, don't stress. But now I'm up here and I'm nervous. Might have something to do with the fact that I'm 6 inches from the edge of the stage. Everybody keep your elbows in, because one good shove and I'm on the floor. We determine these scholarships based on merit. We don't consider need. Every year we receive hundreds of applications. It is a tremendous project on the part of the amazing scholarship committee to winnow that huge pool of applicants to the top 30. There are so many deserving applicants, so for the 30 of you who are selected this year, it's really a feather in your cap. And it's a testament to the academic aptitude you've demonstrated throughout your scholastic career and your contributions as individuals and as a community. For everyone's informational purposes, the scholarship class is stretched across 3 blanks of seats in the front row here. They're going to stand up, take about 3 steps forward, and they're going to turn around. This is so that they can be facing the audience rather than having their back to all of you. So scholarship folks, that's your cue. Okay, they were in alphabetical order. Hopefully at the end of this process, they still are, and we'll pass a microphone. I'll introduce them. First name, last name, home state, school state, vocational goal, and they'll each have 25 to 30 seconds to introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about what they are as a scholars and future leaders. All right, all set to go. I'm going to. So Tracy took the words right out of my mouth earlier, and Tracy reminded everyone in the room to please hold your applause until the end. It's been a long meeting. We want to hear from these folks, but we need to make sure we do one giant round of applause rather than 30 individual rounds, all right? Here we go. So our first scholarship finalist this year is Wasim Al-Azhari, Pennsylvania, special education. Wasim, good morning, everybody. I'm a person who believes in turning challenges into opportunities. And for a few years, I've been dedicated to supporting people with disabilities and students with special needs, not just by teaching, but also by designing awareness campaigns and inclusive materials and advocating for inclusive education and pursuing a master's degree in education to deepen impact and serve others while growing as an educator, committed to lifelong learning. Thank you. Kate. Lauren Altmel, New Jersey, Louisiana, teacher of blind students. Lauren, hello all. It's such an honor to be here today. As Kate mentioned, I'm from New Jersey. I just finished up my bachelor's and I'm currently relocating to Ruston, Louisiana, where I'll be starting at Louisiana Tech in the fall. I'm very excited. I absolutely love to work with students. I love the light bulb moment that goes off in people's heads when they learn something new. I can't wait to continue doing that throughout my life. I'm also proud to serve as Vice President of the National Association of Blind Students. Kate, Sergio Arguelles, New York, Law. Sergio, it's a pleasure to speak with you all today. I hope to have a positive impact on society. I hope to bring into law my empathy and compassion. I hope to go into public interest helping underserved communities, especially elderly, disabled people of color, LGBTQ, every underserved community. I hope to just help and bring my willpower and empathy and everything that I can to the table and help out. Kate, Izzy Bailey, Maine, social work. Izzy, hi all, I'm so excited to be here today. I'm starting my journey this fall at University of Maine, studying social work with a concentration in disability studies. In the meantime, I'm working towards outdoor equity initiatives in my beautiful home state of Maine. As a blind indigenous woman of color, I feel very empowered by exploring the outdoors, and I think everyone deserves that right. I am a first-time convention goer, and I'm new to the NFB. I'm new to the blind community, and I feel so empowered by the people I've met here, and I hope to reciprocate the energy that I've found here, and that I've found in my identity as a blind woman for the rest of my days. And I hope to give that back to the NFB as well. Kate, so as you all know, or those of you who attend this meeting regularly, I always like to throw in a few fun facts about the class. This year was an excellent year to be born in October. Seven of the scholarship finalists this year have birthdays in October. I don't think we've ever had seven. That was not me falling off the stage, just to be super clear. I don't know what that noise was, but that was not it. So the next finalist is... I thought actually that this person was our youngest finalist. But actually, he's not. Caleb Calhoun, Virginia, cybersecurity. Caleb. So hi, I'm honored to be selected as a finalist by the NFB. And this is my first time at the convention. A little bit about me. At age 14, I joined the Virginia Department of Blind and Vision Impaired Student Program, where I gained skills in IT, advocacy, and self-determination. Today, I mentor students traveling similar journeys in their vocational skills. Now, I'm entering William and Mary College, Virginia, this fall as a freshman. I'm excited to keep learning from this amazing NFB community, and thank you. Kate, Erin Daly, Colorado, assistive technology consultant. Erin, hi everyone, I was one of the luckiest people in the world to be born to a blind father of the National Federation of the Blind. I was raised by a blind single father. I think I was at the convention in 97 with President Rick Obono in Anaheim, but we didn't cross paths. I was more interested in Disney at the age. I currently serve as secretary of our Denver chapter. I absolutely love to travel. I did a Braille monitor piece on my trip to Antarctica. So I've been to 6 continents, and I would love to share that passion with blind people. I think that we, you know, now that we have more control of our destiny in this country, we need to explore the world. I'm looking to become a consultant in assistive technology because of the discrimination I received by employers. I feel like we can have whatever passion or dream we want, standing here and everyone sitting down. But if our expectations are raised, but the employers are not, that doesn't help us. I want to go out, build the federation, build generational wealth for everyone, and give everyone the tools to have whatever dream they want and achieve that goal. Kate. Erin, Antarctica is on my bucket list, let's talk. This year's class has 4 Tenbrook fellows. Jacobus Tenbrook was our first president of this federation. If you have won a second National Federation of the Blind Scholarship, considered to be a Tenbrook Fellow. The first of these is Juna Gita, Massachusetts, California, Content Strategy and Entertainment. Juna, hi everyone, I went to Harvard for my undergrad and majored in cognitive neuroscience and evolutionary psychology. Yes, I've never used that a day in my life. After I graduated, I pitched the health podcast to my local NPR station because I was super into fitness. So for 6 years, my job was hosting a podcast that was awesome because I love to talk. Last year, I became the senior producer of the Mel Robbins podcast, the number one podcast hosted by a woman in the world, which is really exciting. In this September, I'll be starting my MBA at Stanford, and after that, I would love to work with the entertainment industry on how people with disabilities are represented in movies and TV shows. But I truly believe the best parts of my life are outside of work. I love snowboarding, the gym, jiu-jitsu, and most of all, my 10-pound Pomeranian Pooh Bear. Kate, Kashonia Graham, Michigan, Michigan, Human Services. Kashonia, I'm from Michigan. I see the delivery guy who often describes himself as a Greek god, so I'm a caramel goddess from Michigan. I want to get students started on their vocational goals. That is my career goal, and I'm honored to be one of the scholarship winners. Thank you. Kate, our scholarship class includes people from 24 states, including this next finalist, Toby Harnish, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, software engineer. Toby, good morning, everyone. I'm so privileged and glad to be picked as one of the scholarship finalists at the 2025 convention program. Growing up, I faced many discriminations because I was born in an environment where disability is viewed as a problem to society. But ever since I have been introduced to NFB, it changed my life. And I want to use my skills to improve others' lives as well. So for this fall, I'm going to be majoring in software engineering so that I can create digital solutions that can benefit other blind people. Kate, Caitlin Head, Ohio, Illinois, Professor of Music. Caitlin, hi everyone. I just got a notification from my Apple Watch that my heart rate is way up, so we'll see how this goes. I started my undergrad career and spent 3 great semesters at one college and then moved to the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Ideally, I will be the music professor who encourages students regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, disability, because that's important, whatever it is, that they can do whatever they want. Thank you, guys. This is an incredible opportunity. Kate, Daniel Hernandez, Arizona, Arizona, clinical psychologist. Arizona doesn't follow directions. Daniel, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Daniel Hernandez. This is my second time at the NFB convention. I'm a SAAVI Services for the Blind alumni and a fourth year PhD student. I'm studying clinical psychology to be a therapist. My ultimate goal is to be a professor as well, doing research and teaching. That's currently what I'm doing now, going into research. I mean, I hope to. I really, really hope to sort of bridge the disparities for students, both blind and underrepresented minorities, like the Hispanic/Latino population. And yeah, those are my goals, and I'm really, really thankful to be a scholarship finalist. Thank you so much to everyone. Kate, I'm busting Arizona's chops here, but do remember that at some point we want to eat lunch before division meetings, so please hold applause till the end. Rashidi Kenner, Kentucky, Alabama, social work. Rashidi, I'm an October baby as well. My background is in nursing and music. I lost my eyesight during the pandemic and it was very traumatizing. I looked for a therapist that I could see myself in. Being in Kentucky and going through everything I was going through, I couldn't find a therapist. So I thought maybe I should put a change to that and take my previous nursing skills and clinical psychology skills and help other people. Also, getting a master's in social work, I would love to continue advocating for our community and ADA rights as well, too. Kate, Nor Crisit, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, law. Nor, is it morning still? Good morning, everyone. I'm Nor. They said not to say my name. Sorry, I'm nervous. I'm at University of Pittsburgh studying political science. Everyone I've met at a convention and conversated about the elevators with has just been the coolest. And no, I'm not just talking about the temperature of the hotel. It's so exciting to be part of such an incredible organization. I love the NFB so much. Thank you.
I am continuing from where I left off on page 506 of the article titled Creativity, Persistence, and Hope, Reclaiming Our Stories Through the Organized Blind Movement by Mark Riccobono. The parable does not align with our experience in this movement, in other ways. In every variation of the parable I encountered, the blind people are always men. As an aside, some will argue that this was the true limitation of individuals involved, not for their blindness. From the beginning, the National Federation of the Blind has been comprised of leaders of diverse backgrounds and experiences who all happen to be blind. Our experience has been that our truth is more evident and guides us to more effective collective decisions when it is built on a strong diversity of personal characteristics, brought together in a unified purpose. Please do not misunderstand. Working collectively is not always easy. It takes real effort, emotional intelligence, and patience. But we are all better when it is successful. While we still have work to do to reach blind people who are underrepresented within our membership, we can confidently say that the blind men in the parable, devoid of a diversity of experience, are not reflective of our truth and the power of our individual actions collectively focused. By the middle of the 1950s, it was clear that the system of agencies for the blind felt threatened by the truth that came from the National Federation of the Blind. In the parable, a central problem is the blind men remained divided and mistrustful of each other. They were not organized and did not understand that they share a common goal. The principle of divide and conquer was used to maximum effect by the Vision Industrial Complex to challenge the very right of blind people to freely associate in an organization like the National Federation of the Blind. From our perspective today, we must recognize that history can and will repeat itself if we do not continue to seek to understand the truth. The nature of the attack on the organized blind movement is best documented and articulated in Dr. Ten Brook's presentation, titled "The Blind and the Right to Organize," delivered in New Orleans at our convention in 1957. This presentation was not given at the banquet, but it is as significant as any of Dr. Ten Brook's banquet speeches. Here's what he said in part of that occasion, his 46th birthday. The right of the blind is to organize is equally based in law, in mortality, in history, in logic, and in common sense. It is at once a human right, a constitutional prerogative, and a public duty. It fills the legitimate personal needs and at the same time clearly serves a public purpose. The right of an organization for all men is a vital prerequisite of a democratic government and a necessary condition of mature social life. The right of organization for the blind is no less than this, but it is also something more. It is an immediate and urgent obligation if the opportunity of self-expression and self-determination is not to be ignobly lost. For our generation at least, and perhaps for generations to come. Despite the warning, the power structure of the Vision Industrial Complex continued to grind away at dividing the blind of this nation. Some blind people did not trust the collective wisdom of blind people and brought the organized blind movement dangerously close to fulfilling the classic teachings of the parable. However, the blind of our movement came with experience, and they valued working together. Through the 1960s, our elected blind leaders focused our collective action on understanding the nature of the elephant and reclaiming power from the agencies. We did not fulfill the ancient parable. Our blind predecessors wrote a new story, gave power to our truth, and handed down to us a legacy that we must continue to teach. Although the echoes of that embattled time in our history are now very faint, we continue to feel some of the scars that slowed our progress in the 1960s and 70s. We must not let our collective movement be divided again. Even in a society where division rather than unity often feels like a norm. Examining what history has said about us and reclaiming the narrative was a signature of Kenneth Jernigan, who served as the second long-term president of the National Federation of the Blind. He had the benefit of mentorship from the collective wisdom of the first generation of Federation leaders.
Most notably, he took the truth of blind people and put it into practice within an agency for the blind. He demonstrated that an agency need not be in opposition to the organized blind movement, but rather can contribute to it by providing quality training and opportunities built upon high expectations. In addition, his writing exposes how the historical narrative about blind people, like the parable we have been thinking about tonight, do not reflect the experience of the blind themselves, but rather the misunderstanding internalized through society's low expectations. While the teachings of Dr. Jennings met great resistance from some of the most powerful players in the vision industrial complex, we found that our truth set us free. As the movement grew in power, an increasing number of professionals in the field began to question their own understanding of blindness. As blind people emerged from Dr. Jennings' training program in Iowa and began taking leadership roles around the nation, many professionals realized that our truth might be very different from the prescribed narratives taught in the blindness field. By the time the third generation of the Federation came into leadership, the blind were well positioned to advance our truth. In 1986, our convention elected Mark Moore, a lawyer, advocate, and bold leader, to carry our movement forward into the new century. As the Federation's longest-serving president, he led us through a tremendous period of growth and influence. We amplified the dissemination of our stories with powerful materials like our Colonel book series, through increased engagement with traditional media outlets, and via an aggressive agenda that would ensure the blind had access to information in a digital era. Blind leadership and teaching became a central theme as the Federation's affiliated training centers in Colorado, Louisiana, and Minnesota, all led by the blind women, began to raise the expectations within the organized blind movement and challenge a narrative of vision-centered approach. The techniques used by blind people were formalized into the structured discovery methodology, and the success of blind people shattered the narrative. While the vision industrial complex expected that blind people were subjects of research to be studied and fixed, we reclaimed the narrative. Our movement elevated blind people to be the architects of research, projects based upon the possibilities rather than the misconceptions. We changed the narrative in education, rehabilitation, and employment. However, we did not stop there. Parables are one thing. The law of our nations are another. We took ownership, shaping the laws based upon our true experience. We have led the way in legal discourse by affirming the truth in that blindness is respectable. And we have helped to organize a disability right community to carry this truth forward into the future. While our truth is not fully codified in federal and state laws, without a doubt, the narrative of 2025 is now much closer to our truth as blind people. Today, the human experience is undoubtedly different from what it was just a few short years ago. Interactions have been monumentally changed with the growth of social media platforms driven by algorithms tuned to dividing, not uniting. Economic pressures heightened by a worldwide pandemic have pushed society towards isolation, not collective action. For all the progress we have made, our truth has still not reached all of people who need it. At the same time, our success, which has come through collective action by the blind, may in turn make it easier for some blind people to believe the false narrative that a movement is no longer needed. Add to this the complexity that the convergence of artificial general intelligence in the years ahead may leave some feeling like the computers, rather than the people, will write the narrative of the future. Tonight, I ask each of us to examine our truth. Our understandings of what it means to be blind is not etched in stone. It is a reality that takes continued cultivation in an ever-changing world. Have we discovered all there is to know from the wisdom of blind people? Only if we believe that, we have found the limits of what is possible when we work together. Will the emergence of artificial general intelligence mean that we have nothing more to learn about being human? Only if we believe that the machines are a replacement for the heart and the connection that comes uniquely in the human experience. At no time since 1940 has it been more critical that we commit ourselves to the power of collective action. Yes, not even when the very existence of our movement was in question, was it more important than it is to us today? Our truth has emerged from working together, teaching each other, believing in each other, and questioning centuries of misunderstanding, and that truth grows because of the power we continue to give it. In a relatively short period of time, we have made significant progress. In a relatively shorter period of time, that progress can be significantly diminished. As Dr. Tenbrook wrote, the right to live in a world is something more than the right to remain in it. We cannot go back to a time when we were regulated to being passive recipients of another's charity and presumptions of incapacity overruled lived experience. So far this year, we have suffered both in denido of inability and outright attacks on the hard-won protections afforded to us under the law. Our truth lives within a society that is divided along so many lines. If we allow our community, our understanding of true capacity of blind people to be divided in the same way, we are doomed to be defined by the historical ending of the parable of blind men and the elephant. The commitment to work together starts with each of us recognizing that we all have something to gain or lose. The federation of our movement is built through the will and the power of people. How the parable is rewritten continues to be up to us through our choices and everyday actions. The banquet marks the end of my 13th consecutive convention. When I first walked into this convention in 1996, I thought I knew the truth and that it was a certainty. I had convinced myself that accepting my own limitations was the best way for me to live my life. Blind people who do not know me opened their hearts and their own understandings of the truth to me. They invited me to consider something different, even though it would dramatically shatter my truth. Year after year, I have returned to this convention, and each year this movement motivates me to not simply accept the truth as a certainty, but to test it. Every time I have accepted that challenge, even when it was uncomfortable or when I was fearful about what I would find, the wisdom of blind people has made it better and more open to continuing my own changes. I could not have ever imagined how our collective truth would fulfill so much of my life. I have lived within the organized blind movement longer than I have lived without it. Yet I can easily remember what the truth used to be like, and I never want to go back to not knowing the power and wisdom of our Federation family. I want to invite each of you to make that same deep reflection in your own life. Ask yourself whether you have discovered the full truth about living blind in America, or whether you have settled for what is most comfortable. Then I want you to ask yourself whether you are creating a space to teach others about the understanding we share. Not weaponizing the truth or shaming others into understanding, but taking the careful, loving steps needed to invite people to enhance the truth for themselves. This is what happens daily in our affiliated training centers, in our chapter meetings, and in small moments of members reaching out to members, people sharing their power with people. When you reflect, I hope that your understanding will be that a movement of blind people is critically important in your life, and that we must reclaim the narrative within society. This is my commitment and reflection as I anticipate the next 30 years of our time exploring our truth together. When the parable of the blind men and the elephant was handed down from storytellers to those who first wrote it down, blind people had no means of organizing and sharing. By the time of the founding of the National Federation of the Blind, blind people had to figure out ways to get the experience needed to begin rewriting the historical narrative. Today, blind people have a choice to leave the crafting of a narrative to someone else or to be part of the effort to build the truth and share it throughout society. I have made my choice, and it is to trust this group of people to help me discover the truth of living the life I want as a blind person. While some may say we should reject the parable based on its known misrepresentation of the truth, I say we should reclaim it and use it as a tool reflecting our truth. Here's my attempt at rewriting the parable based on the experience of the National Federation of the Blind. The Blind Explorers and the Elephant. A group of blind travelers of all ages and genders arrived in a village where the people spoke in awe of a strange and magnificent creature, an elephant. Rather than speculate, the group decided to investigate for themselves. While some of the blind people were nervous, they trusted the more experienced travelers. "Let's not touch it randomly," said Amina, a thoughtful woman with a knack for orientation. "Let's ask good questions, make observations, and compare notes." They agreed on the plan. Using the structured discovery method, each person explored the elephant systematically. They moved with intention, asked questions, and examined multiple parts: trunk, tusks, ear, legs, tail, belly, and back. Carlos, feeling the long, flexible trunk, remarked, "It moves like a strong hose, but it's warm and the skin is textured." Maya, crouched near a massive foot, noted, "This leg feels like a pillar, but its end ends in a padded round base." David climbed carefully with the help and said, "Up here, it's wide and flat. I think I'm on the back." Lynn, exploring an ear, said, "It's huge and thin. It fans out like a blanket, waving in the breeze." Jabri, examining the tusks, added, "These are smooth and curved like polished horns." Afterwards, they sat together in the shade. "I think I understand only part of it," says Carlos, "but hearing what you all experienced helps me build a better picture." "Yes," said Maya, "it's not a snake or a wall or a fan, it's an elephant, and it's all those parts and more." Together they built a shared understanding that none could have formed alone. They drew a detailed map, created a tactical model, and even taught others in the village what they had learned. The villagers, amazed, asked, "How did you figure it all out?" "We explored," said Amina. "We asked questions, shared what we learned, and listened to each other. We cannot wait for opportunities to come. We must seize the moment, even when it's uncertain." That's how discovery works. I believe this version of a parable better represents the experience of blind people and the National Federation of the Blind. Although it would be even better if more blind people had contributed to the rewriting. It is essential that we, the blind, reclaim the responsibility for shaping and sharing our stories. The blind must be the ones to write the narratives, sing the songs, and perform the plays telling the truth about our experience. Then we must share them throughout society. We must continue to utilize our movement to raise expectations for blind during a very disruptive period of human existence. This will not be without disappointment and sacrifice. The road to equality has plenty of pitfalls, and there are bound to be setbacks. But our story is filled with the sound of hope, as it has been since the beginning of our movement in 1940. Our shared truth is not yet as well known as we would like. Our hope for the future has not yet moved a critical number of allies to make its acceptance a certainty. Our stories are not yet celebrated among the best of human experience. This is why we declare with firm conviction that a movement of blind people is more relevant and necessary today than any other time in our shared history. We know that the movements are not powered by perfection. They are powered by persistent people. Our movement advances because blind people and our allies make a commitment to our truth, a truth that evolves as we test the limits and raise the expectations generation after generation, a commitment that requires us to show up, make sacrifices, listen to, and teach each other, and speak up through personal stories. Through the bond of faith we share together in this movement, our story will change the world. My Federation family, let us be proud of the movement we share. Centuries of misunderstanding created the narrative that blindness was our limitation and that we needed someone else to care for us. We organized and began reclaiming our narrative. Under no circumstance will we again allow our stories to be misrepresented, and under no circumstance will we stop crafting our true narrative. Every day we struggle against persistent low expectations, but we do so with the hope, with hope in our truth that it is respectable to be blind. But equality in society is not yet ours. We deserve a world where every heart and mind know the truth of our story. The way we can get to that future is together through the courage, determination, and creativity of diverse shared movements. This is the commitment we make to each other. This is the love, hope, and determination felt in our movement. This is the bond of faith that fuels our hope for tomorrow. Let us go together to find these blind people who have not yet discovered the power of their story. Let us show that we belong in the world and that we make it better. Let us sing our song of truth. You and me, NFB. Let's dream together. NFB, you and me. Lives on forever. You will see. Let us build the Federation of the Blind. I often felt adrift, uncertain of how to chart, of course, towards a fulfilling life. At that time, I was employed at McDonald's and had temporarily paused my undergraduate studies. If I hadn't received that diagnosis, my life might have followed a completely different trajectory. I would have continued working at McDonald's, feeling stuck and uncertain about my future, but without the guidance and support that I found through the National Federation of the Blind, I might have struggled to navigate the challenges of vision loss. Instead, that diagnosis became a turning point for me by forcing me to confront my circumstances and seek out resources and communities that could help me thrive despite my blindness. The NFB helped me realize that my vision loss did not have to define me or limit my aspirations. By believing in my abilities, by entrusting me with leadership position, and through intensive mentorship, the Federation changed my life. My community helped me excel beyond where I would be if I were sighted. Mentorship is what brought me to this point in life thus far. Without my mentors, I'm not sure where I would be right now. I just hope I can pay it forward someday. Blind children and adults are making powerful strides to live the lives we want every day across the United States. But we need to continue helping blind people like Destin. For more than 8 years, the National Federation of the Blind has worked to transform the dreams of hundreds of thousands of blind people into reality. With support from individuals like you, we can continue to provide powerful programs and critical resources now and for decades to come. We hope you will plan to be part of our enduring movement by including the National Federation of the Blind in your charitable giving and in your estate planning. It is easier than you think. With your help, the NFB will continue to give blind children the gift and literacy through Braille, mentor young people like Dustin, promote independent travel by providing free long white canes to blind people in need, develop dynamic educational projects and programs to show blind youth that science and math careers are within their reach. Deliver hundreds of accessible newspapers and magazines to provide blind people the essential information necessary to be actively involved in their communities. Offer aids and appliances that can help seniors who are losing vision maintain their independence. Below are just a few of many tax-deductible ways you can show your support of the National Federation of the Blind. Lift Roundup. By visiting the menu, choosing Donate, and selecting the National Federation of the Blind, you commit to giving the National Federation of the Blind with each ride. Vehicle donation program. We accept donated vehicles, including cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, or recreational vehicles. Just call 855-659-9314. Once again, 855-659-9314, toll free. And a representative can make an arrangement to pick up your donation. We can also answer any questions you have. General donations help support the ongoing program of the NFB and the work to help blind people live the lives they want. You can call 410-659-9314. Once again, 410-659-9314, extension 2430, to give by phone. Give online with a credit card or through mail with a check or money order. Visit our online contribution page at nfb.org-donate. Pre-authorized contribution. Through the pre-authorized contribution program, supporters sustain the efforts of the National Federation of the Blind by making reoccurring monthly donations by direct withdrawal of funds from a checking account or charge to a credit card. To enroll, call 877-NFB-2PAC. Once again, 877-NFB-2PAC. Or fill out our PAC donation form at nfb.org-PAC. Plan to leave a legacy? The National Federation of the Blind Legal Society, our Dream Maker Circle, honors and recognizes the generosity and the imagination of members and special friends who have chosen to leave legacy through a will or other planned giving options. You can join Dream Maker Circle in a myriad of ways. Percentage or fixed sum of assets. You can specify that a percentage or a fixed sum of your assets or property goes to the National Federation of the Blind in your will, trust, pension, IRA, life insurance policy, brokerage account, or other accounts. Payable on death account. You can name the National Federation of the Blind as a beneficiary on a payable of death account through your bank. You can turn any checking or savings account into a POD account. This is one of the simplest ways to leave a legacy. The account is totally in your control during your lifetime, and you can change the beneficiary or percentage at any time with ease. Will or trust. If you do decide to create or revise your will, consider the National Federation of the Blind as a partial beneficiary. Visit our planned giving page at www.nfb.org/get-involved, ways to give. In 2024, our supporters helped the NFB by host 3 career fairs connecting blind job seekers with potential employers, sending 261 Braille Santas and winter celebration letters to blind children, encouraging excitement for Braille literacy, distributing over 6,000 canes to blind people across the United States, empowering them to travel safely and independently through their communities, delivering more than 500 newspapers and magazines to more than 130,000 subscribers with print disabilities free of charge. Give our 750 Braille writer slates and stylus free of charge to blind users. Mentor 220 blind youth during our NFB Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning. Awarded 30 scholarships, each in the amount of $8,000, to blind students. Just imagine what we could do this year with your help and can be accomplished for years to come. Together with love and hope, determination, and support, we will continue to transform dreams into reality. You have been listening to the Braille Monitor, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or Braille, please call us at 508-797-1117. Once again, 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.com, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. If you have an idea for a topic to explore, please email or contact Audio Journal at 508-797-1117. Once again, 508-797-1117, or email info@audiojournal.com. I'm Saba, and thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners. Would you like to hear news from Holden, Paxton, Princeton, Rutland, and Sterling that you're not likely to hear on commercial television and radio? Tune in to Audio Journal every Friday at 7 a.m. and again at 9 a.m. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.